Hello and welcome to the Health Hacks Podcast, the podcast for high-performing professional females looking for practical ways to optimize all areas of their health and wellness. At Health Hacks, we understand that as a busy female, you wear numerous hats throughout your working week. You're trying to juggle it all, while also looking to carve out time to prioritize your own goals. It's challenging. It's therefore our mission to channel your energy into the areas that are going to help give you the biggest bang for your buck, to really make significant changes to your lifestyle in the most efficient way possible. So at the moment, if you feel as though you need more energy, you want to feel more productive to improve the quality of your sleep, to lower stress, to increase confidence, to show up better in both your personal and your professional relationships, this podcast is for you. If it's time you prioritize your health, learn to fuel your body, found time for exercise, and said goodbye to fad diets and inconsistent behaviors for good, this podcast is for you. If it's time for you to step into the shoes of the high performer you know you can be, this is the right podcast for you. Join me and my guests as we take you through the Health Hacks Podcast. I'd love to fit X, could be anything, into my day, but I just don't have the time. Equally, have you ever said, I have the time to fit X, Y, Z into my day, but I just don't have the energy? Today on the podcast, we are joined by Alice Dartnell, whose area of expertise is just that, the link between time and energy. Sometimes it isn't a case of creating more hours in the day, particularly when you're juggling family commitments, work pressures, and our own goals. However, Alice opens up the conversation and dives into how we can be smarter and more effective with the time and energy we do have. This episode will be relevant to you if, like Alice and like myself, you're an entrepreneur or a business owner. Equally, if you work as part of a team but you want to protect your time and your boundaries, you'll find a ton of value in here. Before we get into this episode of the podcast, if you enjoy the work that we do here, if you've ever taken away a golden nugget, you've had a penny drop moment, there's been a tool or a strategy or something that we've discussed that you've been able to actually action in your life, if you'd love to show support for the program, I'd be eternally, eternally grateful. The more we can spread our message, the more ears we can hear, the more our listenership rises, the more wonderful guests we can have on the podcast and ultimately add a ton more value. There are two ways to support the show, and like I say, I would be incredibly grateful if you could do one of the two. The first one, to scroll down where you may be listening to me on your device, on your podcast platform of choice, probably Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just hit the follow or the subscribe button. It would mean the world. Equally, if there's someone in your life who's trying to make positive steps forward in the world of personal development or health, send them this episode of the Health Hacks Podcast. If you've found value in the work that we do, chances are they will too. And if you are interested in finding out a little bit more about the work that we do with our one-to-one clients, particularly if you're interested in your own health and wellness goals for this year, perhaps your goals are around weight loss, perhaps you'd love to sleep better at night, reduce your stress, or manage menopause symptoms naturally, I'd love to hear from you. So get in touch. And if you'd like to find out more about our one-to-one coaching program, there are details in the show notes below, and you can book a complimentary health diagnostic call with me via that link below. Okay, that's enough for me for just now. Let's get into this
episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Health Hacks Podcast. You're joining me today with special guests to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Long-term listeners of the podcast will be very aware. But today I'm joined by Alice Dartnell. She is a life and success coach, empowering busy people to create a life by design, not by default. I love that. She's an expert in time management, energy management, and productivity. And she joins us here today. Alice, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm really good. I'm really excited to be here. So thank you so much for having me, Caroline. I am very excited.
Alice, let's talk a little bit about your backstory. We're actually talking, we're in a very different time zone at the moment. You are from the UK, which some people will be able to tell from your accent. Where are you at the moment in the world?
Oh, so I am actually nowhere near London at the moment. I am in a country called Cambodia.
I've actually been, it's beautiful. Didn't get to spend an awful lot of time there, but it is absolutely beautiful. Did the temples, did the whole, all the touristy spots. It is incredible. What are you doing there and why?
Amazing. Oh, well, do you know what? So many people I've met are like, where? And I'm like, you know, that country near Thailand and Vietnam, like nobody knows where it is on the map. They're like, oh. But yeah, I am currently in a very, very small place called Kampot, right in the south. So most people have been to Cambodia might have like heard of Phnom Penh, the capital, Siem Reap, where they got Angkor Wat, where obviously Tomb Raider was filmed and stuff like that. But I am in a little town called Kampot, and it's a bit random because my parents actually live here and they've lived here on and off for years and years and years. And I started the whole digital nomad thing, coming to and from the country and traveling and stuff back in March 2022. So as this episode is recording, that's like pretty much 2 years to my anniversary. I left on the 15th of March, and yeah, I was actually on my way to Bali. I was like, oh, that's what I see on Instagram, all the expats and all the digital nomads are all heading to Bali. So I was heading that way, and my dad kind of was like, well, if you're coming out this part of the world, like, stop off at Kampot. And I was like, really not feeling that. And I don't know, maybe it's like the child in me that's like, oh, I don't want to go where my parents are, even though I'm in my late 30s. And that was almost a year ago, and I haven't quite left yet. So when people are like, are you living there? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Sort of, maybe, yes. So yeah, here we are in Cambodia.
And as tell us about your coaching business. You described yourself as a digital nomad. Talk to me about how you got into what you do now.
Oh my God. If I could take you back, Caroline, 4 years ago when I started the business, my life was unrecognizable. So I actually started my business days before England went into the lockdown. Obviously, I didn't know that was happening. I was actually in Mexico when it was all kicking off, and I was on the last flight out of Mexico back to England, not knowing that was the last flight. And I touched down on Friday, and I was so excited. I'd been in Mexico for 2 weeks, and I'd created all these business plans, and I touched down on the Friday, and on Monday we went into lockdown. It was like all my business plans straight out the window. So at the time, I was just obviously absolutely panicked. I've just given up my corporate career, and now jobs are going down the pan, and I've started this business, and what do I do? But actually, I think it was a blessing in disguise looking back at it, because I always have loved travel. My parents have always lived abroad. My mum is Japanese. My dad's English. I've always kind of grown up with that traveling thing within me. So I always knew I wanted a business that I could take with me. Like I love traveling. I love business. I wanted to combine the two. And I guess in hindsight, I'm really lucky because we just got on Zoom straight away. Like Zoom became like second nature, didn't it? So within, months starting my business, I had clients across the world. So I started an international business by accident very, very, very early in my business. I've now got clients in the UK, USA, Dubai. I've also had them in like Northern Europe and the Maldives and Zimbabwe. So yeah, I've really been blessed in that sense. So my coaching business has worked for me. Now I do find myself as a digital nomad, but actually when I started my business, I was married. I was a homeowner in Southwest London. I just quit corporate. So a total different story to now. But I'm divorced, I'm traveling the world, I don't even have a home technically anymore. So yeah, life is very, very different from when I first started, but kind of embracing the grow my coaching business whilst traveling the world and being a digital nomad at the same time.
Love it. It's fantastic. Alice, tell me about why time and energy and productivity. You have this background in the corporate world. What has led you to coach in this area and to specialize here?
Yeah. Oh my God. So I think like anyone who started a business or has a passion, like there's always a personal story, isn't there? There's always like a bit of trauma that's happened. And I'm a really big believer in turning like pain into power. And my pain actually started when I was a teenager. And unfortunately, when I was 15-ish, I hit a really bad decade of depression, self-harm, an eating disorder, real low confidence. And when I started to recover a decade later, sort of in my early to mid-20s, I kind of almost felt this like pang of guilt and anger that I just wasted a decade of my life. And I promised myself I'd never waste time ever again. I was like, nope, like I've wasted enough time, that's it, like never again. So I became obsessed with time management and kind of like all good obsessions. I took it kind of a bit to the extreme. So I got really, really wrapped up in the world of productivity. How can I fit more into my day? How can I do more, you know, squeeze every minute out? And I think somebody looking on the outside probably saw someone who was organized and productive and met deadlines and tick, 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 tick. But now I look back on that, I had high anxiety. I was easily like rocked, you know, if something didn't go quite exactly to plan, it was just like, because, you know, my diary was so meticulous, there was no buffer. And, you know, I would get into work all flustered and stressed, and I'd be trying to multitask on the Northern Line. If anyone's commuted in London in the morning, you will know, you will picture this, like there I am, armpit in face, you know, crunched up, I'm trying to eat my porridge and I'm trying to read a personal development book whilst putting on my makeup because I'm multitasking. And long story short, in 2019, I burnt out. Like there's only so much you can keep doing that to your body, you know, that constant level of heightened stress and, you know, fight and flight and running and rushing from one thing to another. So I burnt out in 2019, Caroline, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't see it coming because I was like, I'm shit hot at time management. So like, how did this happen? And that for me was the kind of penny drop moment that time management isn't just about managing your time. It's also about managing yourself and your energy. And that for me was like the like, ah, moment. And I was like, oh, okay. So I've gone to the gym and I've drunk my green smoothie and yada yada yada, but I'm not actually looking after me. I'm a people pleaser. I've got no boundaries. I say yes even when I don't want to, and yes, I shut the laptop at work on my 9 to 5 at 5 p.m. but then I just rush straight into the next thing, whether that's charity work, kickboxing, drinks out with the girls or whatever. And I lived like that for over a decade, and then, you know, inevitably burn out. So yeah, that's why I'm so passionate now, and that's kind of my pain into power, is I've been in that place of burnout and it was nasty, and I want to try and help people A, avoid the burnout city, but also B, live a life that you want to. Like, don't be on default mode, like live a life by design.
Mm-hmm. As I'm gonna jump to the link between time and energy, you spoke about the importance of that. Can you walk us through some of the unknowns of that? People might think that these are completely disconnected concepts. How do you feel there is a link between time and energy?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say I specialize in time management, energy management, and sorry, time management and energy management, because for me, you kind of need both. My realization was it isn't just about time, but also about energy. And my realization was you sometimes have the time, but not the energy, or vice versa. So maybe you've got the time to go to the gym, but you haven't got the energy. Or maybe you've got the energy to do something, but you haven't got the time to do it. So we have to see the relationship and the correlationship like between two. And another thing for me that I realized as well on my journey was time management is very push, it's very masculine. And I don't mean that in the kind of like if you're a woman or if you're a man. What I mean that in terms of like the energy. So time management is very masculine energy. It's very like, you know, it says to do this at this time, so this is what you do. You keep to a structure. It's very rigid, and it's great for like discipline. It's great for kind of keeping that regimented order. But energy management is a little bit more fluid. It's a little bit more feminine. It's, I have made space in my diary to exercise today, but the type of exercise I do will be dependent on my energy, especially if you're a woman and maybe, you know, your energy fluctuates with your menstrual cycle, for example. So one of the examples that I always give is when I was going through my divorce, my separation wasn't my choice. It kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was just like, and like anyone going through something that was a shock or a trauma, it takes a lot of energy from you. So there was days that I had the time, but not the energy, and vice versa. And it was the blend of the two that got me through that. And I use that as like a tangible example to explain to people, because time management helped me get through that time, like through that dark time. And I actually doubled my business in the second year compared to the first, because my ex bought out me like literally just after I started the business. So I kind of grew this business. I doubled my business whilst going through this horrendous experience. And it's because I blended the two. So time management helped me keep structured and disciplined. And I showed up for interviews when I said I was going to, and I showed up for my clients when I said I was going to. But the energy management side of it allowed me to heal, allowed me to be okay with crying at 3 p.m. in the afternoon rather than going, oh, it's work time till 5, come on. Or just to give myself a bit of grace, being like, you can't lift heavy today because, I know I keep giving the gym example, but it's, you know, really physical. It's like, today I can't lift heavy because I had such bad insomnia. So it's like, okay, what does my body need instead? It needs just a gentle walk and yoga. So it was kind of that blend of the two that got me through those dark days. And coming out the other side now, I still implement the two principles of time management and energy management, blending them two together, because regardless if you're going for a difficult time or a good time, like, blending the two principles is really going to serve you.
I'm nodding my head throughout your whole description of your experience there, because I completely 100% relate. And I wonder if people who are either solopreneurs or they start their own business go through a similar experience. I remember when I started the business, Alice, I was the person whose Google Calendar, like, you probably had a similar setup. Every single moment of every single day had a color blocked code. Yeah. It was, the word I'd use is militant. It was, yeah, this happens at this time. There was no deviation from that. And sometimes what would happen is that, you know, one thing would pop up, there would be a crack in the system, and the whole thing would fall apart.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, when you're starting a business, you have to a certain extent, well, I certainly felt like I had to put everything into it, because why wouldn't you? It was, you know, 6 days a week, and it was saying no to most things. On that one day off, it was a crash. And you can say what you want about how healthy that is, and I reflect back on it and go, you know, not sure. But that was the reality of how it grew. Now, I think there maybe becomes a point in life and in business where you feel ready or able to listen more and to say, where are the signals here? And I think you get smarter as well about how you learn how to read yourself more.
Yeah.
You learn how to predict your behaviors in a more intelligent way. And I don't know if that's a similar experience you have. Now, I don't run my day in the same color-coded, every single minute scheduled way anymore. And yeah, I say, yeah, I don't know whether that's age, I don't know whether that's business development, I don't know whether that's, you know, is that something that you hear a lot of entrepreneurs say?
Yeah, often when I start working with people, because obviously specializing in time, energy, productivity, mindset as well, I do attract the people that was past Alice, you know, the color coded, the military down to the second, you know, account for every minute, multitasking, squeeze everything out. And I think as well, we grew up in that culture of like the hustle and grind, sleep when you're dead. If you want to be successful, get up at 5. Yeah, if you're an early bird, but if you're a night owl, don't get up at 5. So we kind of, I think we've got conditioned into that. So I think as part of your business journey is unconditioning what you've known, breaking those limiting beliefs and creating your new narrative. And it's easy, obviously, to do as a business owner than corporate 9 to 5. So I think this is a journey that a lot of the business owners and entrepreneurs go through, because they realize, I don't have to be a slave to 9 to 5. I don't have to do it in that way. I don't have to crash and burn. Actually, I started my business not only to help people, but to have fun or to have impact, or because I want to balance it with family life, or because I want to travel, or I want to have fun. You know, there's so many other reasons why we started a business. So I think it is actually, you're right, a part of our journey as an entrepreneur and a business owner. And I think you're absolutely right as well. We have to be ready and also able to give ourselves that permission to make those those changes and go, actually, no, I'm going to listen to my body and I'm not going to cram my diary out. And we've got to really retrain ourselves, like how we see productivity. And this is why I want to encourage people to see time management for energy management as well, because you could have the most immaculate color-coded diary, but are you putting energy fillers in there? Are you replenishing yourself after a difficult experience or even a high octane event? You know, I've done it where, or I had clients where they've done a great all day in-person event, high energy, and the next day they feel like they want to crash and burn because they've used so much energy the day before. So I always tell my clients, like, block out the next day, or, you know, if you've got lots of travel and stuff. So yeah, I think we have to really listen to ourselves.
I'm going to interrupt this episode for no more than 30 seconds to say that if you're listening to this recording and it feels as though we're talking directly to you, you'd love to have more time in your day, you'd love to balance your time with your energy levels, and particularly if you have a health-based goal for this year, perhaps it's weight loss, improve your sleep, reduce stress, or manage menopause symptoms naturally, I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch. My details are in the show notes below.
As an extroverted introvert, I'm very, very conscious always about where my energy goes, because you kind of protective of where you give it out, I think. Alison, I want to ask you about this life by design concept, because I think I'm always conscious as someone who is a business owner, and we almost have a bit of a blank canvas, actually, being, you know, running our businesses remotely, and as you are doing across the world, we can kind of design our day as, you know, as we like, really, obviously with business in mind. But this life by design, how do you help people find what it means to them, and how do you help people know where to even start, both those that run their own businesses and have this blank canvas and those that work in the 9-to-5 who potentially don't have the same perceived how do we do that with both of those camps of people?
So first of all, I'd say create your definition of what life by design means. When I was younger, I got very bamboozled by success. You know, society says success is ... And I'm being very generalized here, but success, I grew up believing success was, you know, having the house, having the probably the dog, the husband, the nice holiday, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the good career. And you know what? I had all that. And I've realized starting my business that everyone's got a different metric of success. And if they haven't, they should. So life by design, because I used to talk about success, and then I realized, hang on, my metric of success is different from Caroline's, but we're both right. And then I realized, oh, it's about life by design. It's about having those big goals, because we've all got those big juicy goals that we're secretly working on or hope to do one day, then write that book, travel the world, whatever. But it's also about the daily lifestyle, you know, the simple little pleasures. When people say, I don't have time to do that hobby, learn that language, get to the gym, you know, sit in a cafe reading a book, like, these are the simple pleasures that we often think we don't have time for, but they are part of our life by design. It's how you want to live every day. You want to have a good morning routine, you want to do Pilates on a Monday night at your local fitness center or whatever. Make that happen. Like, that is life by design. That's what it means for me. And everyone's different. So unfortunately, as a coach, I cannot prescribe, Caroline, these are the steps and this is what you must do. So if you're working in corporate or if you're working in business, this is true. You've got to know what your values are and then align your time and your energy to that. So for me, my values are, for example, personal development. My values are travel and adventure. My values are health, etc., etc. So I make sure that I'm living my life as best as I can in accordance with those things. So I will make time for adventure and going to the gym and kickboxing and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not saying my values are right. Like, someone else's will be completely different. Like, I'm single and childless. Like, my values are going to be completely different to my best mate who's married with kids. But, you know, it's about aligning your values. And I think if I said to the majority of people, get your calendar out right now, look in it and highlight the things that align to your values, I don't think a lot of people's calendar would reflect their values.
That's so true. And I will say as well, I felt very unfulfilled for a long period of time because my values were not in line with how I was running my week. So success to me, for me, going back to what you just said, as I defined success purely as a financial goal. So that is the goal. It's financial. I think for a lot of people and a lot of businesses, that is often the trap that you fall into. When I dug a little bit deeper, and this is going to, I'm actually going to say this, it did not matter how much I earned. It didn't. And sometimes I would earn three, four, five times more than I had planned that month. And you know what? Those successes did not fill me up in a way that I expected. And I know that's maybe it's a very first world problem to maybe highlight. Now, after going through that and realizing that's not where the values are, I have two. It's stillness and security. So when I'm talking about financial income, I think you only need as much as to make you secure. To know that there's food in the fridge, to know that your mortgage is paid, to know that you could go out on a nice date night at the weekend if you wanted to. You could buy, the new pair of shoes if you wanted to. You could go on the holiday. That's security. It's not flashy, it's not ostentatious, it's security. And then the stillness is around when I was in corporate, I felt like I was living on a knife edge. Like I was a slave to the next email that came in my inbox. I was just a constant state of what does someone want from me? I'm gonna have to do it right away. It was an anxiety that was so deep rooted. It was like my stomach was always tight, could never relax unless I had a glass of wine in my hand. And that anxiety I'm almost running away from. And stillness is a big one for me. How do I start my morning? It's why I don't have any notifications on my phone. It's
Oh my
why
God,
my email doesn't ping up. It's why there's nothing, because stillness to me is of such a high value. Because when I'm still, I can do the other things. I can go to the gym uninterrupted. I can go on the dog walk and not be stressing about the time. So just if anyone is, I've had different values and different metrics, but they have changed over time. And I think that's important because as you grow as a person and just in different chapters of your life, your version of success is different too. And I'm sure it'll be different in future, but that's what it is just now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, that's why it's life by design, because the chapter that I'm living at the moment, I couldn't have predicted this for 3 years ago. Like, I had no idea my husband was going to walk out on me. I didn't see it coming. So if you'd said to me, Alice, what is the life that you'll be living in 2023, 2024? There's no way on earth I could have predicted this. So I couldn't have said to you, Caroline, my life by design is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so you have to organically change it, grow it, adapt it, etc. Am I happy right now? Yeah, I am, because I'm choosing to be happy and create my life by design and use my time and energy in the way that I want, just as much as if I wasn't living this life right now. So yeah, I love that you mentioned that. It's okay for it to change as well. I don't want people to feel like stuck to something.
What would you say to people who perhaps they work a job, maybe 9 to 5, where it's not their true passion? If they were really honest about it, I think that will be the case for a lot of people, is that they don't live a they don't they work to earn money to live the life they want to live. The fulfillment therefore needs to, I suppose, come in the time outside of those hours. How do you find more time for the things that you love when you are when your fulfillment is not coming necessarily from your job role? What do you recommend people do in that camp?
Yeah, so kind of like finding more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think first of all, what I'd say is I've been there, and I think the majority of people in corporate have. Like, I liked what I did, but it wasn't like now I wake up on a Monday, Tuesday, doesn't matter, and I'm like, yes, the passion is there because this is my baby. But one of the things that I noticed in corporate is everybody lives for the weekend. And all you're essentially doing is wishing away like 40 hours of your life and 5 days of your week. So if you are in that position, please don't just wait for the weekend. There are things that you can do Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, to sprinkle and inject in those little pockets of life by design, whether that's, your favorite lunch or just little things to make sure that you aren't trying to get to the weekend. But in terms of like trying to find more time, I think this is really important. What I would say, though, it isn't about finding time. Whenever a client says to me, I need to find time, I'm like, no, 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 no. It's not about finding time. It's about creating time. Because if you try to find time, it won't happen because we're always busy. There's always something taking our attention. You've got to be deliberate and intentional and make the time and create it. You've got to get proactive, basically. One of the things that I always, always advocate to my clients is audit yourself, like do a time audit. And I think you've spoken about this in a podcast before, haven't you? Because I was listening to some of your podcasts, which I love, by the way. And I know you've mentioned this, but it sounds so simple. But how do you know where your time is going if you don't audit it? If you was on, not that I advocate diets, but if you were being conscious of what you were consuming, you would probably use something like MyFitnessPal and track your calories. And majority of us overeat and overestimate. Studies show that because we don't count that biscuit or the mayonnaise or whatever. The same for your time. We've all got eyes bigger than our belly. So track your time and then start seeing where the leaks are. Like I literally did this the other day with one of my clients because she was doing the classic, you know, busy mom, I haven't got time for X, Y, and Z. And we've already, within like a matter of days, saved 30 minutes a day for her because we've just slightly rejiggled how she does her morning. And she was getting into a really bad habit of social media scroll hole once she dropped the kids off and stuff. And now we've rejigged the flow of her morning so she doesn't do that. Boom, instantly opened up 30 minutes a day, literally like that. And we're still going. There's more work to do there. But you have to audit yourself. Find out where your time is going. But the second thing I'd add to that is one of the things I teach in my online time management course is this concept that I call ROT, return on time. So I call it ROT because it's a little bit like return on investment, but for your time, not your money. So audit yourself, you know, how long is it taking you to do your social media? How long is it taking you to pack the kids' lunch boxes, et cetera, et cetera? And then you can start looking for ways to just, how do I claw back 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes? It might not be an hour in one go, yeah, but can you batch bulk? You know, can you meal prep some meals for, you know, several meals rather than tonight's meal? Can you clump some tasks together so you're not to-ing and fro-ing, you know, all those kind of things. Where are the leaks that are happening so that you can create the time?
Yeah. I'll throw my 2 pence in on this as I'm going to record another podcast immediately after this one, a solo one, because once you've been talking, once you've got the setup, your energy is there, right? Yes. So it makes it easier to batch the task. Just an example. Yes. I'm going to ask you though, because busy mums in particular, you mentioned screen time straight away in social media. You must do this exercise so many times that there are some common ones that pop up. You mentioned social media, you mentioned the phone. What are the other things that people are spending too much time on? Or it's that leaky bucket in the time equation. Any common?
Yeah, a common one is definitely like, this is my technical term, faffing between tasks, like you kind of mentioned with the podcast, like getting set up from one thing to another. Like how can you smoothly transition from one thing to another? Like the faff that we do because we're looking for the selfie stick to do our recording because we can't remember where we last left it because we're organized, or the faffing we do because we haven't tidied our desk, and I know you're big on like a good environment as well, or the faffing that we do between switching off the tasks even mentally because, you know, we're jumping from this to this to this to this. So kind of like, where can you streamline? So definitely phone, definitely social media, definitely faffing, and also kind of like house life chores, like things like prepping the kids' lunch boxes, or even just something really simple. I thought about this morning, actually. I'm currently staying with my mum, and I made myself a really nice ginger apple detox juice. And I made my mum one as well. And it's, you know, it's a big blender. So it's like, well, why am I just making it for today? Like, why don't I make it up for 3 days, put them in some airtight jars, that will keep, or whack it in the freezer. So actually it took me 10 minutes, but 10 minutes every day, that adds up, you know, because it isn't just juice we're talking about here. It's everything, right? But I just made 3 lots of day's worth of juice in 10 minutes. So actually that only took me 3 minutes per juice. And I know that sounds like such a silly example, but it's really tangible when you start thinking, where else in my life are those little pockets that I could save? I call it shave to save. Like, you're literally just looking for like 10 minutes here and there. So definitely things like phone, social media, faffing between tasks, those little life chores, you know, can you meal prep, you know, stuff like that. They generally tend to be the most common leaky buckets.
I would say as well, it's funny you mentioned about the faffing. It is a term I use as well, as technical as it is. It's funny the different value that we have on time. So say, for example, have you ever looked at your clock in the evening and you suddenly go, it's 10:30, where did the last 2 hours go?
Yeah.
You know, we do that in the evening versus 2 hours in the morning, if particularly if you're an early bird, and you know, 2 hours at your desk in the morning, you would not let slip like that. 2 hours, there's different values placed on time throughout our day. I find that's one that I fall into and have in the past. I've got a little alarm that goes off in the evening to remind me you've got to be in bed in half an hour. And that one really, really helps. But I think ladies will often say to me, it's sleep that we talk about. So they're not getting enough sleep. So they're waking up feeling, you know, lack of energy in the morning, but it's because there's a lot of this kind of wasted time in the evening, which I understand, because a lot of people use that PM time as their wind down. And I feel sometimes as though I'm being a bit of a party pooper when I come in and say, no, you know, don't watch too many episodes of, you know, the show that you've been looking forward to all day. You just want to sit on the sofa and relax. I get it. But that time does tend to bleed into sleep.
I definitely notice this with my clients, and I get it. And I'm not a mum, so there's no way that I can like preach on this. But my clients that especially are mums will say, when the kids go to bed, that time that I get in the evening is the only time that I'm not hearing, mam, 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 and I just want that time for myself. So then you almost kind of like have this sleep revenge procrastination thing going on, because you're like, oh, I just want to have some time to myself. Or that's the time to catch up on the emails that you never got to do because the kids pick up at 3 p.m. like coincided with, you know, and I totally get it. The thing that I would say is be intentional. And again, this is where the time management, energy management thing blends, because it isn't necessarily about the time you are putting in, but the energy. So quality over quantity. So you could get a more beneficial bang for your buck wind down evening time to myself if you just did like an hour of intentional whatever. We'll come to that in a minute. That would be more beneficial because it's quality time than 3 hours of monging out in front of some TV episode that you don't even know what you're watching, but you're just too tired to change the channel. So, and I've had so many clients that say, you know, in the evening, I want to do Pilates, or I want to do this hobby, or I want to go out for friends, but I can't because I'm so tired. I just come home and slob in front of the telly, and before I know it, like you say, it's 10 p.m. So I always encourage my clients, be intentional. I'm not saying you can't watch telly. I love a bit of Netflix. I'm a sucker for the guilty pleasures like Selling Sunset and stuff like that. But it's about being intentional with it and go, right, I'm going to watch 2 episodes from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Selling Sunset. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just about being intentional with how you're using your time and your energy to wind down after a busy day and to get that time for yourself. And also I'd say make sure what you're doing in the evening is an energy filler, because there's a big, big difference between something that's recreation, i.e. telly, and something that's rejuvenating and an energy filler, because telly might not actually be it. We're just kind of default mode into scrolling on social media and watching telly because we're just passively doing something.
Alice, I need to ask you about productivity, because one of the things, you actually mentioned it there, I have a lot of busy mums who find themselves falling into that, put the kids to bed and then they have to jump back into the emails for potentially a couple of hours into the evening. Again, I'm going to go back to the sleep component here. That tends to play absolute havoc on the sleep because they're going 100 miles an hour up until, you know, 11 p.m. at night. They expect to close their laptops and then fall into this blissful
sleep. And as we know, the brain doesn't work like that. We need a little bit of time to decompress. Some of the things our ladies try and do is become more, you use the word intentional, with their time during the working day and be more productive. How can we fit more into our working day? Say I wanted to work the 9 to 5 and keep it at that. I wanted to keep my work at work, didn't want to work in the evening. What are some of the productivity hacks that you like or you try with clients to maximize that available time?
So for me, again, this goes back to the kind of energy management, time management blend, because I'm really, really big on understanding your energy rhythms so that you can get the most out of your time and your day and what you're doing. I've got some clients that are early birds. They're up at 4, 5 in the morning. They want to just get cracked because they know come lunchtime, you know, 12 p.m.-ish, like, you know, they're kind of like done their prime work. I'm not an early bird. I would rather sleep till I sleep, get up naturally, no alarm, and then I would like to do my walk, my meditation, maybe go to the gym, have a nice breakfast, do my Japanese homework, get yada yada. So I like to get all the stuff for me done, and then I feel right, now I can face the world and get on Instagram and talk to my clients and stuff. So it's about knowing your energy. It's about knowing when your peaks and your troughs are, because then you can match your tasks to it. Because again, it's not about the hours in that equals productivity. It's quality over quantity. So let's say, for example, you had to do your content for the week as your business owner. So you've got to do all your social media and newsletters. If you know that takes prime energy from you and you need to be super creative and you are the 4 a.m. morning bird, then you probably want to do that first thing in the morning, because there's no point doing it at 4 p.m. when you're flagging. So map your diary to your energy. So maybe for you, exercise isn't something to do first thing in the morning. Exercise would be better for you at 4 p.m. when your energy's starting to slump anyway. So it's about matching the task to your energy rather than just the traditional clock management, I call it, where it's like, you know, get up at this time, do this, and you could just slot stuff in because you're just slotting it in. But actually think about your energy and your prime time. So I often work quite late at night because of the time zone difference, but I will map my day to my energy peaks and troughs. So I always feel I'm doing my best to get like my bang out of the buck for what I'm doing, because I know my energy rhythm. So that I would always say that, like, ladies, if you are trying to get more out of your working day and you're trying to do it more to 9 to 5, so you're not letting it spill out into family time, then start mapping your tasks to your energy peaks and troughs.
Yeah. The one piece of resistance I have to that, and I agree with everything that you've just said, the one piece of resistance I find ladies have, or they feel that they need to bend to, is colleagues and people booking in on calls, diary availability. And they feel very often, particularly if, like you, they're working over a couple of time zones, they're sometimes getting up super, super early to, you know, speak to Asia, and then they're staying up super, super late to speak to the US, depending on how they're managing that. Calls and availability are a big one that I hear.
I totally get that, because I operate mainly, I stick to a UK time zone, even though I live in the Southeast Asia at the moment. But my clients are also based in the USA, which is 12 hours behind me at the moment, and also Dubai and stuff. What I'd say is, be in charge of your diary, be in charge of your time, be in charge of your energy. And also, no one can see in your diary. So if somebody, the client says to me, like, have you got space on Wednesday? Just because I've got space technically in my diary on Wednesday, if I know I'm not going to have the energy, I'm probably going to say no, because they can't see in my diary anyway. And if I just say, oh no, I'm not available, and give them an alternative, they don't know. So I'd say, like, really, again, think about the energy. Like, if I know if I've got a long day or a late night or something like that, do you know what, today is a perfect example. I've done loads of podcasts, loads of talking, and I'm working till about 10 o'clock tonight. Do I have something booked in for 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? No. I'm gonna wake up when I wake up. I'm gonna go lunch with my, well, breakfast with my mum, whenever. Probably go to the gym. And the earliest slot that I put in for my diary was a call for 1:30 my time, because I was like, no one can see my diary and go, oh, you are actually free.
I think you have to think about the value that you're able to give to other people as well. So it's similar to you. If I have, say, four calls back to back and someone wants to go in for a fifth call, absolutely no way am I booking that in. Not because I, like you, wouldn't be able to do it. It's that by that fifth call, I would be on the floor. You know, if I've been 4 hours without eating anything, without stepping away from the screen, without moving, without hydrating properly, without, you're not the best version of you to sit down opposite that person and give them the very best. So I think creating those little buffers in your day is so, so important. Alice, do you use, I think I'd want to ask this because we're going into this world of automation and, you know, using technology increasingly. Do you have any apps or programs that you use for time management? Are you old school pen and paper when it comes to mapping out, you know, time auditing, fluctuating energy? How do you do it with your clients on a practical level?
So I am super basic. I'm super simple and I'm very old school. So I don't use any fancy apps or anything like that. So if I was going to do a time audit or an energy audit, I just get them to write it down, and I get them to write it down on Excel or even a scrappy bit of paper, just because I think that the bigger the barrier that is to doing something, people resist doing it. So if it means like logging into an app and setting up and stuff like that, they're probably going to resist it. If it's a case of just writing their scribbles down on a sheet, they're more likely to do it. So obviously if a client wanted to use a specific app, great, but you know, I'm not forcing it down them, like, you should use this. For me as well, I am so old school. I use Outlook to plan my week, and I will obviously make sure that I'm planning my week, not just in like how many meetings can I ram in and how much work can I do, but also where are those energy fillers for me? Where is the gym, the massages, the TLC, the just chilling outside and reading a book, the brain breaks, you know, the buffers. And I really liked what you said just a minute ago, actually, and I want to kind of emphasize this point that you've got to put those buffers in. Like we were saying, you know, back in the corporate days where it was like, you know, like peeing from one thing to another, it just causes stress, it causes anxiety, it causes your body to go in fight or flight. So for me, what I now deem as a back-to-back day is meetings that are, but always guarantee they'll have a 15-minute break in between so that I can get a brain break, just take my eyes away from the Zoom, you know, grab a drink, whatever. So when I say to people like, oh, I'm back to back today, I'm back to back in the sense of like there's a 15-minute buffer between them, rather than back to back, which was like in the corporate days, you know, it would be a meeting at 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're like, oh, I don't even have time, chance to grab a water or pee. Like, it was crazy. But yeah, I just use Outlook so that I can put in reoccurring, rescheduled, what's the word? I'm like, yeah, reoccurring appointments. So then I can just like move things about quite easily, and then I just print that off and then use that as my diary. Because what I was finding is I was getting, the perfectionist in me was getting too annoyed that I would create this beautiful plan for the week, and then obviously inevitably a client would change a meeting or something, and then I have to scribble it out, and it would stress me out. So yeah, it's probably not great for the trees, but I do apologize. But yeah.
Alice, do you then, you kind of alluded to it there, do you then spend a little bit of time at the weekend or on a Sunday when planning for the week ahead? Is that a non-negotiable for you?
Oh my god, absolute game changer, absolute non-negotiable for me. Doesn't matter where I am in the world, I don't even care if I'm in like holiday mode technically, I will still plan my week ahead. So I think you should always be intentional with your time and your energy, regardless of what you're doing or where you're at. And I personally like to do it on a Sunday. I also run an accountability group called the Accountability Circle, and we meet 9 a.m. on a UK time zone on a Sunday so that we can plan our week ahead. And that has been really beneficial for everyone, because now they're waking up on a Monday and they're like, I am ready. I know exactly what this week is bringing me, what I want to get out of the week. So much more empowering, so much more in control of your time and your energy, and having that helicopter vision and that horizon scan. It doesn't take long. You know, I don't spend more than half an hour on that. And anyone that's going, oh, half an hour, I haven't got that time, it's, again, an ROT, it's a return on time, because you are going to save so much time and energy with the faffing or the not fitting things in, being organised or forgetting. And when you physically can see it, you can then start batching and bulking and going, oh, hang on, oh, that's a late night, better not have an early start. And you're just so much more in control.
Yeah, I think it takes away that Monday dread as well. Because if you push the inbox away, or you totally disengage at the weekends, there's merit in that, by the way. I think if you're working hard, you should be resting hard too. But also just having a good overview of the week and what that looks like can really help calm anxiety and reduce overwhelm. As if someone has been listening to this and they find themselves in a position where they would love, I think I can maybe answer this actually, they would love to just create more time and energy. Where's the one place, like if they're sitting listening to this and we're big on taking action here and taking practical tips away, if they were to close this episode right away, what's the one thing that they could do to get the ball rolling on that and to find that more time and energy?
I would say it's actually a mindset shift rather than a practical tool, because it is a big shift in your way of thinking and the way you're delivering your life to go from, oh, it's not time management, it's also energy management. So the one big thing that I want your listeners to take away is that mindset shift of seeing time also as energy. And when you start doing that, that's like your foundation. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is your foundation. So when you start thinking and seeing time in that way, you then can start dropping the guilt of taking a break. Because rather than going, I haven't got time to take a 15-minute break, what you're now saying is, I'm taking 15 minutes to replenish my energy. For those of you that are saying, like, I don't have time to go to the gym, you're now going, no, I'm going to find the time. I'm going to create the time to go to the gym for an hour because I know I'm going to be more productive for the rest of the day. So when but you can't make the practical happen unless you've done the mindset ground foundational work first. So that would be like my first step. My key takeaway is to make that mindset shift that, oh, okay, it's not just about time management. It's also actually about energy management.
I'm going to ask you a question. This wasn't one that we have on our little blueprint, but I was reading a book recently. It's called The Comfort Crisis, and it's really talking about how resilient we are. Do you think I don't have enough time is just an excuse for a lot of people?
Be blunt, yeah. I think it's an excuse we use because actually, what if we dig deep under I don't have enough time, what you're really saying is it's not a priority. Because guarantee if I changed something for you and then you saw it as an emergency or a necessity, you would make the time for it. So for example, people say that they haven't got time to do X, Y, and Z. We're all busy. There's always going to be something more to do. You'll never get to the bottom of your to-do list. But if I called you up right now and was like, an emergency has happened, you have to drop everything and make this hour, create an hour in your diary today for this to happen. Otherwise, something really bad is going to, awful is going to happen. It's absolutely urgent you do it. You would make it happen. So when we say we don't have enough time, really, it's because it's not a priority. And if it's not a priority, that is okay. Like, I had a client where they kept saying, oh, I want to do X, but I haven't got time. And I was like, is it actually a priority of yours? And when we dug deep, it wasn't. And I was like, well, why are you forcing yourself on this on yourself? Like, maybe this is a priority for quarter four, not quarter one. And it was for them, it was like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's not a priority. Like, I just, there's other stuff I want to do at the moment. So sounds really harsh maybe, and might have to take a while for people to digest that. But when you say you don't have time, really it's just not a priority. And if it's not a priority, that's okay. Don't stress yourself about doing it. But we have 24 hours in a day. We would all like more. Oh my God, I'd like 48 hours in a day. But we have to use what we've got and use it properly and use it well and use it in a way that is aligned to our values so that we can create that life by design, etc.
Love that. Alice, thank you so much. I want to say huge, huge thank you for your time, which I realize is very, very precious, and your energy. I knew this was going to be a high energy recording, and it hasn't disappointed at all. And when people are listening to this, or if they're listening to this and want to find out a little bit more about you and the work that you do, you've mentioned some amazing resources, some accountability groups that you have. Where is the best place to find you? What do you have going on at the moment? What's on the horizon for you in 2024?
Oh, do you know what? I'm really excited about 2024. So, on social media, definitely come say hello, connect with me. I am on LinkedIn, but I am more of an Instagram girl. I do like the pictures. So come find me. It's just my name, Alice_Dartnell. Instagram's probably the best way to get in touch and see what I'm up to. But yeah, at the moment I'm running my accountability circle, which is an ongoing membership. So people can join that for weekly accountability calls, weekly planning. It's so much more than accountability group. And I also run things like VIP strategy days if people need some one-on-one eyes on them time, so they can book themselves in for one of those. I often do like free challenges and webinars and things like that to help people with their time and their energy as well. So always get involved with that. And I'm actually thinking about as well, because I'm coming back to England in May 2024, putting on an in-person event as well. So there's some exciting things coming up this year. So yeah, come say hi, check it out. And if you've got any questions as well, I'm more than happy to answer stuff in the DMs as well.
Amazing. Alice, thank you so much. I'm going to link everything in the show notes. So everything is there. Everyone can find you.
Thank you very much for her time on Health Hacks this week. I do and sincerely appreciate it. And I hope you found a ton of value in this conversation. The biggest takeaways I had from this recording of this particular episode is really making a conscious effort to match up my energy and my time, batching tasks together that I know work really well for the flow of the day. It's actually a superpower to know when you're most effective and what tasks light you up and the ones that you potentially want to buffer around. So I hope this episode has been food for thought. If you're not sure where to start, start documenting your week a little bit more closely. Perhaps for the next couple of days, you keep a little diary beside you. Maybe note down the things that are the energy givers and the takers. And with that knowledge, you can then start to structure your day around those principles. So like I say, I hope there has been lots in this episode to think about. Maybe we have to get creative about how to bring some boundaries into your working day, whatever it may mean for you. Huge thank you to Alice. If you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, if you did want to show support for the show, there are two ways to do that. And I would be very grateful if you did have a moment in your day to do either one. The first one being simply to scroll down on your podcast platform of choice. Perhaps it's Apple Podcasts, perhaps it's Spotify, and hit that follow or subscribe button. And the second is to send it to someone in your inner circle. Perhaps it's a friend that you've just met over coffee. Perhaps it's a colleague that you were discussing. You know, there just aren't enough hours in the day. Perhaps it's a family member, someone that you know who is on a health and well-being journey. This might be the show, this might be the episode just for them. As ever, if you're interested in finding out more about our one-to-one coaching services, the details are in the show notes below and you can find a link to my personal calendar in there too. I'd love to hear from you, not just where you are just now, but what your health goals are for the remainder of 2024. As this episode airs, we'll be going into Q2. So perhaps the first few months of the year were a bit of a settling in period. Perhaps as we're coming into spring, the lighter mornings, lighter evenings, and we're looking forward to summer, you are becoming aware of your health goals for this year. And this might be the time to have that conversation. So my details are in the show notes below. We'll be back next week on the Health Hacks podcast, where we'll have the second episode of our menopause series. So between now and then, stay happy, healthy, and we'll catch up next week.